Morning, this is Bill Neville with the UnTrust Group, and I'm going to be talking today about self-directed IRAs, or we're going to just be going over the basics of what are self-directed retirement accounts. Again, I'm going to point out for those who haven't heard this already, we do have a poll that we're just trying to get a gauge on the familiarity that people have with self-directed retirement accounts, the people here that are attending this, how familiar you are. So if you haven't done so, if you could just a couple of quick questions that we'd appreciate you answering. And if you have any questions that you want answered, I'll be covering those at the end. We'll do a Q&A at the end. So feel free to go ahead and type those in at any point throughout the presentation or at the end, and then I'll answer them at the end. So with that being said, I'm gonna go ahead and get going. So as we always do, if you've attended any of these presentations before, the UnTrust Group does not give advice. We are not financial advisors. We are not CPAs, we are not lawyers. What we are is we are custodians and record keepers of what are called self-directed retirement. So in that, on that note, all this information we're presenting is for educational purposes only. So if you're considering investing in any what we would call non-traditional investment, which is typically what's being held inside a self-directed retirement account, we encourage you to talk to financial advisors, CPAs, lawyers, have them review documents, et cetera. Our role is strictly as custodian and record keeper. So this is what we're gonna go over. What are self-directed IRAs and who has what responsibilities associated with them? What are some allowed and not allowed investments you can do inside a retirement account? What are the rules around prohibited transactions and disqualified persons? Some of the benefits and risks of doing self-directed retirement accounts versus a more traditional retirement account with a traditional brokerage firm. Some investment strategies, how to get started, and then, like I said, the Q&A. So again, feel free to type in your questions at any point throughout the presentation. I'm going to cover it. This is me. I've been with UnTrust for 10 years. I went to school at Penn State. My title is Business Development Manager. So a little bit about UnTrust. We currently hold about $4 billion in assets. We have around 22,000 accounts. We've been in business for over 40 years. And how we differentiate ourselves from our competitors, one of the ways, anyway, is that we provide a single point of contact for anybody who has an account with us. So I'm one of four business development managers. So I'm a single point of contact for anybody who opens under my region or is referred to me by one of my referral partners. And then we all have associates that also is someone that if you have an account with us or end up having an account with us would be the people you interact with primarily. We are custodians and record keepers of what are called self-directed retirement accounts. And we'll get into that. The majority of the staff is certified IRA service professional. That's what CISP stands for. You have to be in the industry for a couple of years, and you have to pass a pretty challenging test, actually, to be able to get a CISP. We have offices throughout the United States. We're headquartered in Oakland, California. I work out of Oakland, although this isn't an office. This is my home, but I work in the base out of Oakland, which is where we're headquartered. We do a lot of in-person events and webinars, and we focus on education. We are probably the leading educator in this space. And so anytime we do presentations, it's always about educating the people that we're presenting to about self-directed IRAs or a particular topic associated with that. We do have a continuing education program for realtors in certain states, financial advisors and CPAs that can get CE credits. So if you're interested in something like that, go ahead and send us an email. And then we do an IRA Academy where we actually are training other people in the retirement space. We do a class, a week-long class that helps them pass the certified IRA service professionals. We're the only company in the space that does that. We're the only one with the certification to do that. So we're actually, again, when I mentioned leading educator, that's sort of validates through that. So what is a self-directed retirement account? I'm guessing that majority of the people who are attending here, you have a retirement account, you have an IRA or a 401k. I'm also guessing for, you know, other than the few that currently have a self-directed IRA, The custodian of your account is a bank or brokerage firm like a Merrill Lynch or Charles Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard or even a Wells Fargo or somebody like that. And that's where the majority of people who have retirement accounts, that's who acts as custodian for their retirement accounts. With those custodians, they're only typically willing to hold publicly traded stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And because of that, because that's the only thing that they're willing to hold, most people think that that's the only thing you're allowed to hold inside a retirement account. But the reality is that you can invest in almost anything you want inside a retirement account. You can invest in real estate. You can invest in precious metals and promissory notes and tax liens and trust deeds and in privately held companies or privately held funds. I could go on and on. We had someone invest in a racehorse one time in cattle. You can invest in almost anything you want inside a retirement account. But in order to do that, you have to have your account with a custodian who's willing to process and hold custody of whatever asset it is that you want to invest in. So if you want to buy a rental property inside your retirement account, you're allowed to do that, but the custodian you have your account with has to be a self-directed custodian that is willing to hold that as an asset. So if you went to Merrill Lynch or Charles Schwab or Fidelity and said, hey, I want to buy this rental property inside my retirement account, they're going to give you one of two answers. They're going to say, we don't do that, which is accurate, or they're going to say, you're not allowed to do that, which is not accurate. You're allowed to do it. You're just not allowed to do it with them because they choose not to. It's a business model. There's nothing preventing them from doing that. It simply is a business decision that they make that they only hold publicly traded stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. They also advise you, whereas we don't give any advice. So a self-directed IRA means that the account holder makes all their own investment decisions without getting any advice or due diligence being done by the custodian, in this case, Entrust. And again, you can hold non-traditional assets. So as it says here, you, the investor, you're making all your own investment decisions. Like you may have your own financial advisor or somebody like that, but it's not going to be anybody from Entrust that's giving you the advice. It gives you the ability to diversify and not just be limited to stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. But all assets are still required to be held by a custodian. So that's by definition a retirement account. In order to be a retirement account, to legally be considered a retirement account, requires a financial services company to act as custodian on behalf of your retirement account. And that's, so we have the Entrust Trust Company as the custodian, and then the Entrust Group provides all the record keeping services. It's just a business structure that we have, but it all falls under one umbrella that we call Entrust. So you have the key roles. You have the account holder. So the account holder makes all the investment decisions and does their own due diligence. The custodian and record keeper holds the cash and processes the investment and holds custody of the investment in the name of the IRA, right? So, and then the IRA owns the investment. So the person, William Neville, when I use my retirement account to invest in something, it's not held like a rental property. It's not held in the name of Bill Neville. It's held in the name of the Entrust Group for benefit of Bill Neville, IRA number, then my account number. So that's sort of standard naming convention for retirement accounts is some version of custodian name for benefit of the account holder's name and account holder. So that's her account number. So that's how the titling is on behalf of the retirement. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I think I cover some of this stuff in more detail in some of the slides that are coming up. So what types of retirement accounts exist, or what types of retirement accounts do we hold as custodian? We'll hold a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, an educational savings account, and a health savings account. So those are individual types of accounts that with Entrust, you can invest in non-traditional assets that you can self-direct. So when someone establishes an account with us and they go to open an account and we ask you, what type of account are you opening? I've actually had people contact me and say, I don't see self-directed as an option. It's because self-directed is not a type of account. Self-directed is a description of the service that we provide. A self-directed IRA means that you're holding your IRA with a custodian that is a self-directed custodian. Again, doesn't give you advice, but allows you to hold non-traditional assets. But you still have to establish a type of account. So any type of account that you establish with Entrust, by definition, is going to be self-directed because we are a self-directed custodian. But you still have to choose whether you're going to do a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA. If you want to do a Coverdell educational savings account, those can be self-directed. If you have a health savings account, or if you're considering establishing one, and I can answer questions about those. They're pretty cool. You have to have a high deductible health care plan, and you can make contributions to the health savings account and grow it tax deferred, tax free. It's actually tax free as long as when you take the withdrawal, you use it strictly for healthcare expenses. But anyway, those are the types of the plans for individuals that any individual can establish one of these accounts. And if you have earned income, then you can also contribute to these accounts. Then we have small business plans, which is an individual 401k. So we offer an individual 401k plan, a simple plan, a simple IRA, and a SEP IRA. These are business plans. So you either have to own your own business or be self-employed, be, you know, an individual contractor that's not covered by someone else's retirement account, and then you can establish a business plan. And so with the advantages of these plans is that they have higher contribution limits than the individual plans. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, maximum contribution is $6,000. Unless you're 50 or older, it's $7,000. With these plans, with the 401k and the SEP, if you can contribute up to $57,000, $58,000. I don't remember exactly which one we are, 2021. I think $58,000. And then a simple, which is typically small businesses for less than 100 employees, then the employer and the employee can both contribute, and it's a certain percentage, and but it's a higher dollar amount as the employee, as in an individual. So if you're like realtors, for example, are typically self-employed, right? They're working as essentially independent contractors. Many realtors like to establish SEP IRAs because they can contribute a much higher amount, and because they're self-employed, they're able to establish a business plan. Okay. What can you invest in inside a retirement account? I brushed over this briefly earlier. Almost anything you want. The most popular investments that we hold, and I think probably all self-directed retirement account custodians hold, number one is real estate, private placements. And so a lot of times we're holding real estate within a private placement. So someone sets up an LLC and uses that LLC to hold the real estate within our structure, within our trust accounting database. That LLC is considered a private placement because the IRA is not holding direct title on real estate. But with real estate, you can hold all kinds, you know, commercial, residential, multifamily, offshore real estate, undeveloped land. Also, trust deeds and tax liens are also considered real estate investments because they're collateralized by real estate. Private equity, private placements could be a startup company. It could be a hedge fund, a syndication, any kind of private fund. Crowdfunding portals are considered private placements. Private lending, whether it's secured or unsecured. So when it's secured by property, that's called a trust deed. But you can use your IRA to lend money. Basically, an IRA can lend money to any non-disqualified third party. Precious metals, you get a lot of precious metals investors where you're holding actual metals inside your retirement account. The metals have to get shipped to a depository. You don't hold them physically, but your IRA owns them and the metals are held at a depository. Crypto. Is becoming more and more popular investment inside a retirement account. You can hold cryptocurrency. But this is just a very small list. These are the most popular investments that people make inside a retirement account. But again, as I mentioned earlier, we had somebody invest in an airplane one time inside their retirement account, in a racehorse, cattle. You can invest in almost anything you want inside a retirement account. There's only a few things that you can't invest in, and these are those. You can't invest in life insurance, collectibles, or corporations that are structured as S corporations. So you can invest in LLCs, limited partnerships, C corps. I don't even know what other corporate structures there are, but the only one you're not allowed to invest in inside a retirement account is a corporation that's structured as an S corporation. Collectibles would be like art, paintings, alcoholic beverages, certain coins, coin collections. There is a difference between metals versus collectibles when it comes to coins. There's a fineness or a purity associated with the gold or silver or platinum that your IRA can invest in, as opposed to what would be considered a collectible. And basically, the dealer is going to be you have dealers who either sell investment quality metals, or you have dealers who sell coin collections, and your IRA can't invest in coin collections. So, for example, alcoholic beverages, right? So you can't hold wine inside a retirement account, but you could invest in a winery. You can't hold art inside a retirement account, but it could invest in an art gallery, right? Just to give you, to understand the difference between what's considered collectible versus what's considered an investment, right? An art gallery or a winery would be a business, and your IRA is allowed to invest in private businesses. So what is a prohibited transaction? So there are certain rules around what's considered prohibited transactions, largely dealing with disqualified persons. So as it says, it's improper use of the IRA by you, your beneficiary, or any disqualified person. I'm going to show you who the disqualified persons are in a minute, but this is in IRS publication 590 that deals with prohibited transactions. So essentially, the overarching theme around prohibited transactions is no self-dealing. Any investment that you make inside your retirement account has to be purely for the benefit of the retirement account. It can't be for the benefit, the personal benefit of you or any of the disqualified persons. So for example, give you a very broad example. If you want to use your IRA to invest in a company in which you own that company, that's considered a prohibited transaction because by making the investment in a company that you also take salary from, you're considered to be self-dealing, right? So that's one example. And it says prohibited transactions can be direct or indirect. Indirect transactions can be a little sort of nebulous, ambiguous, but it's the code where it talks about in section 590 and then section 4975 that deals with specifically that some of the outlines some of the prohibited transactions is a little ambiguous. So just bear that in mind if you're, you know, engaging in something where it could potentially look at you're engaging in self-dealing, it's something to be careful. So some acceptable transactions, you're allowed to partner with yourself. Like, so you would normally be a disqualified person to your IRA, but if you're partnering on a new deal, you can partner with yourself. And I'm going to get into partnering in a minute. Partnering with your cousin's not a disqualified person. You can always partner with them. A spouse is typically a disqualified person, but you can partner with them on a new deal. And your siblings are not considered disqualified persons. So you can lease a property that you own to a sibling. You couldn't lease a property to a spouse. I'll show you who the disqualified persons are. So here's the list of disqualified persons. You as the account holder, your spouse, your ancestors, so parents, grandparents, et cetera, your lineal descendants, so children, grandchildren, et cetera, and spouse of lineal descendant. And then you get into, this is where it can be a little ambiguous, any corporation that you hold at least 50% ownership, that corporation would be considered a disqualified entity. And then a trustee, custodian, anyone providing services to your IRA. So for example, if you have a CPA, a financial advisor, they would probably be considered a disqualified person. So what would be some examples? So if you will use your IRA to buy a property, none of these people are allowed to ever use the property for personal use or put any sweat equity into the property, right? So if you bought a property in some other part of the country or another part of the world, and you want to use it as a vacation home, that's considered a prohibited transaction. Your IRA can't own a property that you plan on using for personal use or anybody else. So your parents, your kids, spouses of your kids, right, would be considered a disqualified person. If you buy a commercial property and you own a corporation and you want to have that corporation lease out space in the commercial property that your IRA owned, that would be considered a prohibited transaction because you own a certain percentage of that corporation. We could really go down a rabbit hole associated with this. And I mean, I often get very specific questions as far as, is this a prohibited transaction? And some of it is ambiguous. And so it's sometimes it's tough for me to answer. Some things are very black and white. Your IRA owns a property, you can't use it for personal use. You also can't put physical labor into it. You can't put sweat equity. So if there's anybody who's watching this that you're a fix and flipper kind of person where you like to buy properties, fix them up, flip them, that's all fine. A lot of people do it inside their IRA. But the account holder or any other disqualified person can't be the one doing the physical labor, can't be the one swinging the hammer. Okay. Important to know this stuff if you're looking to do a self-directed retirement. So what are some of the benefits of the self-directed IRA? You take more control over your investments. So most people, as I mentioned at the beginning, who have a retirement account and have it with a bank or brokerage firm, the likelihood is that you've got a broker who is having a conversation with you and finding out what your risk tolerance is, what your age is, what your goals are, and then they're recommending certain investments to you. But all those investments that they're recommending, unless you have a financial advisor who works in the alternative assets world, the likelihood is that they're recommending like certain funds, right? Vanguard, Putnam funds, whoever, or certain stocks for you to invest in, or maybe bonds, maybe, you know, CDs, I don't know. But it's a very narrow list, right? They're probably not recommending that you take your retirement account and go buy a rental property with it, or that you invest in some startup company that you might be familiar with, that you know think is a good investment. And it does allow you to diversify and not just be limited to stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. With a self-directed IRA, because you can hold things like real estate and precious metals and notes and things that aren't tied to the market, that if you have an account with a traditional brokerage firm and you've got all your money in maybe four or five different funds, for example, and you've got a broker, you got an advisor who's saying, look how well diversified you are because I've got you in these four or five different funds. But the likelihood is that they're all in the market. And when the market, broader market all goes up, all the funds are going to go up. And when the broader market goes down, they're all going to go down. Maybe at different percentages, but the likelihood is that they're moving in the same direction as the stock market. So if the market tanks, then everybody tanks. Whereas in this case, I mean, precious metals is a well-known hedge against the stock market, that when the market goes up, the metals tend to go down and vice versa. So it gives you the ability to diversify, hold, not be limited to just, you know, the Wall Street assets. And you get the tax benefit of holding it inside a retirement account. So if you own a rental property personally, right, you bought a rental property and you bought it for $100,000, and so many years later you've been getting rental income and reporting that rental income, and now you want to sell it, you're going to pay capital gains tax unless you do a 1031 exchange and exchange it into another property. Maybe you don't want that property anymore. Maybe you don't want to be in real estate anymore. Now you've got some taxes that you have to pay, right? But when your IRA owns it, it's sheltered by the fact that it's owned by an IRA. So all the rental income is paid directly to the IRA. So there's no reporting it on your taxes. You're simply growing your retirement account. And if you choose to sell it, if you're doing a flip and you bought it at this, you know, bought it for a dollar and sold it for two, all that profit stayed inside the retirement account. It remains sheltered inside the retirement account. So there's no tax consequences associated with it. You pay taxes when you start to take the money out of the withdrawal. And so you only pay taxes on the money that you take as a withdrawal. And that's assuming it's not a Roth IRA. As hopefully many of you know, a Roth IRA grows tax-free as long as you've had a Roth for a certain number of years and you're above a certain age. But so it's the whole purpose of a self-directed retirement account is that we all want to grow our retirement accounts. We have retirement accounts because we want to grow them so that at some point we can stop working and be able to live off it and, you know, not necessarily just count on Social Security. With a self-directed IRA, it just simply expands the opportunities of the different things that you can invest in to try and grow your retirement account. But that's ultimately the goal, is to grow the retirement account. So when anybody's looking at doing something like this, your objective should be, is this an investment that I feel like is best equipped to grow my retirement account in addition to the other assets I hold, or as a replacement of the other assets that I hold that, you know, might not be working as well for you as you would. Anytime you're making an investment, there's risk associated with it, even if that risk is opportunity cost, right? So if you don't invest in anything, there's risk of inflation, right? So if you're not growing your retirement account, then each year that we have inflation, you're losing value because it doesn't buy as much last year or this year as it used to last year. So there's always risk. So if you're investing in something, there's risk that it can lose money. If you're not investing in anything, there's risk that dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. Typically, the higher the reward, the more risk associated with it. With self-directed IRAs, doesn't necessarily mean it's more risky. Precious metals is not considered a tremendously risky investment. As a matter of fact, it's often considered a very safe investment and a hedge against the market. But you need a self-directed IRA to invest in metals, right? So self-directed does not automatically mean that your investment is more risky. I don't know if real estate would be considered a more risky investment than the stock market, right? Depends upon you know, how good a care you take of whatever investment that you hold, I suppose. But if you're looking at, you know, maybe a startup company or something like that, there's a chance that that could go public and you could, you know, make a ton of money, but there's more risk that it'll lose its money entirely. So just bear that in mind whenever you're considering making an investment, particularly in the self-directed world where you have to do your own due diligence and you're talking to investment sponsors who are maybe projecting out certain returns, the high reward that they're projecting out is probably going to come with more risk than buying just a stock in Apple or something. I don't know what we mean by losing IRA tax qualified status. I don't know why you put that on there. Other than the fact that if you commit a prohibited transaction, and that gets caught, then potentially you're at risk of your IRA being disqualified. So be careful with the prohibited transactions. And, you know, it can be costly if you're not taking care of your investment. If you buy a property and you're not, you know, it's your responsibility to manage the property. MTrust is not involved with that. So just bear in mind that with a self-directed IRA with alternative assets, it's not typically just a, you know, go throw some money in a company and let the stock market do its thing. There's usually more hands-on associated with assets, the non-traditional assets that are held inside self. So some different ways that you can buy investments inside your retirement account, specifically real estate. You can do a direct purchase. Basically, your IRA has $100,000. You're going to buy a property for $80,000, right? So you purchase it with cash. As I mentioned earlier, the vesting or owner of that property will be in the name of the IRA, the Entrust Group. FBO stands for For Benefit Of. The Entrust Group, For Benefit Of, your name, IRA number, and then your account number. Any agreement, the purchase agreement, the purchase contract, all the closing documents for property or a subscription agreement if it's a private placement, in the name of the IRA has to be signed by the custodian. Entrust has to sign your documents. We have a policy where we ask our client, the account holder, to put what we call their read and approved signature on there. So just somewhere on the agreement in the margins, typically, just write read and approved and sign next to that. Other custodians may handle things differently, but that's how we do it. But again, the signature line is signed by Entrust as custodian. And all revenue generated from the investment and any expenses associated with the investment, like a property, if you have property taxes, insurance, maintenance, things like that, have to be paid by the IRA. The IRA owns the property. The IRA receives the income. The IRA pays the bills, right? It's all done inside the account. I mentioned earlier, you can partner your IRA with other investors. So let's say you want to buy a property. And I'm using real estate as an example because it's the easiest one to sort of highlight how it works, and also because it's a pretty popular investment inside a self-directed IRA. But if you want to take, let's say, again, as I mentioned earlier, $100,000 property, you want to use $50,000 from your IRA, you want to use $50,000 from your personal savings, you're allowed to do that. You can partner with yourself because it's a new investment. If you already own a property for $100,000, a rental property, and you decide, well, I want to have my IRA come in and own part of it, that's not allowed because you already own the property. Same thing if your IRA already owns the property, you can't go purchase out 50% or 20% using your personal funds into that property. It has to be on a new purchase. Now, if it involves a non-disqualified third party, let's say you own a property and you have a sibling who wants to, you want to sell part of your property to a sibling, that's allowed because a sibling is not considered a disqualified person. But what ultimately you end up with is when you have more than one person or entity that's an owner on an investment, and we call it partnering your IRA. Instead of using your IRA as the exclusive investor in whatever investment you're making, you're going to use your IRA along with other investors. And so now you're all, it's not a legal term. Like, it's an industry term, partnering with a small P as opposed to like a limited partnership, or you could establish a limited partnership, but we're using the term as just an industry term to mean that you're combining your IRA funds with other investors, including potentially yourself, potentially your spouse, potentially your spouse's IRA, or anybody that you want to invest with. As long as it's on a new purchase, you can invest with a disqualified person as a partner. If it's not a new investment, if you already own it or your IRA already owns it, and you want to add a partner, then it has to be a non-disqualified. I hope that made sense. All income and expenses from the property, again, as we use the example, flow in and out of your IRA at the percentage of ownership. So if you partnered with yourself 50-50 on a property, 50% of the income goes to your IRA, 50% goes to your personal savings. 50% of the expenses have to be paid by the IRA, 50 have to be paid by you personally. Note that I'm just using 50-50 as an example. It could be any percentages that you choose to establish to make the investment. Many people, if you've doing any research on self-directed IRAs, if you know a little bit, which, you know, looks like about half here do, or after this, you go and choose to do some research, you're going to come across the term checkbook IRA or checkbook control IRA. What that means is that instead of having your IRA hold direct title on, again, let's use property as example, that instead of having your IRA hold direct title on that property, and then Entrust holds the money, and Entrust receives the rent, and Entrust that pays the bills, and we do everything at your instruction, but we're the ones who are actually writing the checks when an invoice needs to be paid, when property tax or something needs to be paid. You can get checkbook control by having your IRA become the sole member of an LLC, and then have the LLC hold direct title on that property or whatever investment you want to make. right? So the LLC essentially becomes a pass-through entity, giving you as the account holder the ability to have checkbook control over by your IRA funds by naming yourself as the manager of that LLC. So you're not the member of the LLC, you're the manager of the LLC. The IRA is the member, right? So the Entrust Group, FBO, your name and account number. So you're responsible for setting up the LLC, naming, creating the operating agreement, naming the IRA as the member, and then you submit the operating agreement to us, showing the IRA as the member, and you open the bank account on behalf of the LLC, and then we fund your LLC. We send the money to the LLC. Now you have that cash in the LLC, and now you can go buy property or buy cryptocurrency or do notes or whatever investment you want to make in the name of the LLC. You've achieved checkbook control over your IRA money through this LLC as a pass-through entity. Now, the LLC owns the property, for example, right? So the LLC receives the rent, the LLC pays the bills, it's all done under the LLC. But if you at some point want to take a personal withdrawal, you can't pay yourself to manage that LLC, that's prohibited. But if you decide, okay, I've built up this cash flow and I want to start taking some of it out, then the LLC has to send the money back to the IRA and then you take the withdrawal from the IRA. You can't take the money directly from the LLC, right? Because you don't own the LLC, the IRA owns the LLC. So the IRA has to receive any income from the LLC, but in the meantime, the LLC can hold the money and receive the rent and pay the bills and do additional investments if that's what you want to do. Again, if you run across the term checkbook IRA or checkbook control, this is what it's talking about. It's talking about structuring your investment through an LLC as a pass-through entity. And then finally, your IRA can borrow money, or an LLC owned by an IRA can borrow money. So typically used for real estate, by definition, it has to be a non-recourse loan. That means that the lender, the only recourse the lender can have in the loan documents is that they can take the property. They can't go after, if the loan were to default, if the IRA were to default on the note, on the loan, they can't go after you personally because you're not the borrower, the IRA is the borrower. They can't go after any other assets in your IRA, not allowed, legal. So for that reason, because the first of all, the loan is not going to you as a person, the IRA is the borrower, which means the IRA has to qualify, right? So your personal credit rating and things like that aren't really applicable because again, you're not the borrower. Retirement account is the borrower. So they're gonna be looking at how much is the IRA putting down, how much is the property worth, what's the expected rent, like they're going to be looking at the finances of that deal and then lending to the IRA. So the IRA borrows the money, the IRA buys the property, the IRA receives the rental income, the IRA pays the loan, right, pays the mortgage back. It's all done under the IRA. Or if you use the LLC, as we talked about earlier, the LLC would borrow the money, the LLC would buy the property, the LLC would pay the loan back, but it's still IRA funds and it still has to be a non-recourse loan, because it's an IRA-owned LLC, right? There is this thing called unrelated business income tax or unrelated debt finance income tax that when your IRA is the borrower will apply. And it's an expense, like property tax is an expense, like maintenance is an expense. It's an expense that you have to pay if you're using leverage, if you're using borrowed money. And I'm gonna give you just a real quick, as best I can, explanation of how exactly that works. So let's say you buy a property and for whatever dollar amount, $100,000, and you borrow 50%, right? So the IRA borrows 50% and puts the IRA puts up 50% and borrows the other 50%. And let's say at the end of the year, you receive rental income of, the IRA receives rental income of $10,000, right? Just as an example. And so the IRS looks at that and says, okay, you borrowed 50%. So actually 50% of that revenue that was generated wasn't tax sheltered because it wasn't IRA funds. It came from outside the IRA, it came from a lender. Right. So the IRS looked at that and says, OK, 50%, because that's the amount of the note or the amount that was directly purchased from the IRA without the borrowed money. 50% of that is tax sheltered, right, because you used IRA money. The other 50%, you have to pay a tax on that because it came from outside the IRA. And I understand that it went to the IRA and the IRA bought the property, but that's not money that went into the IRA first as a tax contribution, right? A pre-tax contribution. So there's a tax table, a trust tax rate, in which the IRA would have to pay this, what's called unrelated debt finance income tax or unrelated business income tax. You'll hear both terms, where they're going to say, okay, that $5,000 has to pay a tax, has to pay this tax because it's not tax sheltered. That money is not considered tax sheltered. So any earnings associated with that has to pay. It's protected. It's only over $1,000. So if you were to borrow money and you don't get income of exceeding $1,000, then you don't have to pay any UBIT or UDFI. And then UBIT is more associated with if you're running a business inside your IRA. So let's say you buy a franchise inside your retirement account, and the IRA owns the franchise, right? So the IRA is paying all the expenses. The IRA is paying the employees. The IRA is receiving all the revenue generated from that. Then that's considered unrelated business income tax. That's a business that's not directly related to the purpose of an IRA. It's a way to grow your IRA, and it's something you're allowed to do, but it will be subject to UBIT. So bear that in mind. Just an investment where you invest in a company and you're a passive investor, that's not going to be subject to UBIT. But if your IRA is running a company or owning a company, then it will be subject to UBIT. So it's not the easiest thing in the world to understand, but you know, I can, if you ever want to have more questions, we can talk about it. But you know, you can also do your due diligence on that if this is something you're considering doing, particularly if you're planning on buying a property and using leverage. So, but understand that having UDFI is, unless it's making your percentage return on investment so much lower that it's not worth the investment, that would be the reason to do it. But be careful of being caught up in the fact that it's called a tax, right? Because it's an IRA and you think, well, nothing's taxed inside an IRA. If you're buying a property and you're going to get a 20% return on investment, and by having to pay UDFI, that lowers your return on investment to, let's say, 15%. 15% is probably still a pretty good investment, right? So just look at the net of what your ultimate return is going to be and just consider that an expense along with property tax and maintenance. And insurance and maybe utilities, like whatever expenses you have with that, if you're using leverage, that's just another expense that you use to calculate what your ultimate return on investment is. Right? That's pretty much like the self-directed IRA 101. What do you need to do to open a self-directed IRA? We're not the only company out there. So, you know, research, find a custodian that works best for you. And then establish an account. With us, we have an online portal. You can open an account. It takes 10 minutes. Your name, address, social security number, date of birth, type of account, $50 new account fee, and your account is established. Then you have to fund your account. You have to transfer or roll over or make a contribution from your current custodian. Transfer, if it's an existing IRA, you're going to do a transfer. If it's a 401k, 403b pension plan, you're going to do a rollover. You're basically moving money from your current custodian over to your new custodian, over to Entrust, ideally. Or you can just simply start making contributions. Again, it's going to be a traditional IRA or a Roth or a SEP or a 401k. You're allowed to make contributions directly to a self-directed IRA because it's still, like I said, it's either a traditional Roth, SEP, et cetera. Find the investment. Most of the time, the people open an account with us, they open the account because they already have the investment. So it's possible that for a lot of people, identify investment would be number one on this list. They find the investment, they find the property, they find the private company, the private fund they want to invest in. Now they come and they establish the account. Just bear in mind that it does take a little bit of time to transfer a rollover money from your current custodian to your new account, right? Sometimes it happens in a couple of days, but sometimes it takes a few weeks, depending upon the other custodian you're rolling over or transferring from. Do all your due diligence. You're responsible for it. We are not. So make sure that you're doing your own research and due diligence on whatever investment you want to make. And then you instruct the custodian to make whatever investment you want to make. And again, any income flows directly to that account. Any expenses have to be paid directly by that account. So everything flows into and out of the account. If you haven't already started putting questions in there, and I'm going to pop that box open in a minute, we've got our next webinar is going to be on cryptocurrency investing. So if that's something you're interested in, feel free to join. Again, the survey, you're going to get another survey at the end. Please answer that. Go to our website, theentrustgroup.com. We have the Learning Center on there. It has a ton of information. It has old webinars. It has we have subject matter experts on different subjects that have come in. This is just me, but a lot of times we bring in the cryptocurrency, we're going to bring in a subject matter expert. And then, you know, we're on social media like all companies are. Okay, so questions, I'm gonna pop this out and see if we've got any questions on here. Okay. Go to the top. First question is, I'd like to learn how a self-directed IRA could be structured advantageously with a living trust. Also, how the self-directed IRA could potentially hold an LLC, living trust, or land trust. So with a living trust, you name your trust as the beneficiary of your retirement account. So, I mean, that's basically it. Like if you have a trust and you're naming beneficiaries in that trust, then when you open an account with us, we're going to ask you to name your beneficiary. Instead of naming any individuals as the beneficiary, you simply name the trust as a beneficiary. And then in the unfortunate event that you pass, then the trustee will then, you know, handle the trust documents, and the your retirement account will then get passed to the you know, appropriate individuals based on how your trust reads. Also, how the self-directed IRA could potentially hold an LLC. Well, like, I mean, I sort of went over that already. I mean, an LLC is an allowable investment inside your retirement account. An IRA can hold a land trust. So you had mentioned a living trust. And a land trust can potentially be structured to work similarly to an LLC, where an IRA can hold a land trust. So if that's something you want to do, it's just, again, that the name of the entity that would be the owner, I don't know what the term is necessarily, for that land trust would be the Entrust Group FBO, your name and account number would be the name of your IRA. Next one, will you talk about self-direct IRA LLC, which gives the owner checkbook control? That's already been done. Will you hold a SEP IRA? Yes, of course, that's one of the accounts that we hold. Question, is it legal to invest in a vacation rental property in Greece where my IRA would be the major part of the investment, but where I would have to finance the balance with post-tax money, my other savings, because the purchase price is 20% higher than my self-directed IRA? Yeah, again, that's partnering. That's considered partnering. So your IRA would own, you know, 80% and you would own 20%. But bear in mind that for most other countries, in order to have your IRA be an owner in that country, they don't typically recognize an IRA as an entity that can hold ownership. So what you're typically going to have to do is establish some kind of entity in that country and then have your IRA become the owner of that entity, similar to an LLC, but the different countries have different roles, maybe a bank trust in that company, or I'm sorry, in that country. And then that entity would be the owner of the property. So in this example that you used, you would need to figure out what entity is required to be established in Greece. I mean, find out if Greece will allow an IRA to hold direct title on a property there, but it's likely not. So find out what entity. You're probably going to have to work with some lawyer over there to establish whatever kind of business or trust or entity, and then have your IRA and yourself become the owners of that entity, and then that entity would own the property. Again, since you personally, I mean, you can't use it for personal use. Just because you have 20%, you mentioned calling it a vacation rental property. Like vacation rental property, yes. Vacation property for you is not allowed, right? Because your IRA, you're a disqualified person to your IRA. Are we able to get access to the slides? Yeah, we send out a link to the presentation. If you want the actual slides, yeah, we can make those available to you. Just in the post meeting thing, express your interest in that, and we can send the slides to you. What's going to happen if I have a self-directed Roth IRA and I invested in 1% LLC and then this company got bought out and now I have a large gain on my Roth account? Is it tax-free? Yes, it is tax-free as long as when you take the withdrawal, you're at least 59 and a half and you've had a Roth IRA for at least 5 years. And I'm not necessarily saying the Roth IRA specifically with Entrust. You just have to have a Roth IRA continuously for 5 years, right? And yes, that's the rule. Any earnings inside a Roth IRA go tax-free, again, as long as you're over 59 and a half and have Roth for at least 5 years. I opened a self-directed IRA account with one of our old franchises. Having problem getting a hold of the old franchise. There are multiple securities complaints against this person. I would like to turn over this self-directed IRA to Entrust. Okay. So I didn't want to read all that detail as far as like, so we have an old franchise. that we terminated our contract with a number of years ago, back around when I started with Entrust, which was 2011, and he's had some legal issues. So ultimately, this person's question is, I would like to turn over this self-direct IRA to Entrust. How can we make this happen? So, Dominic, what you got to do is you have to transfer the assets that are in your account with that other custodian to Entrust. And so you'd have to open an account with us, you would fill out a transfer form, and then we would send that to the other custodian to request the transfer. And then it's going to require some follow-up with this person because they tend not to be very responsive. I mean, just to be honest, we've had experience in other people trying to transfer in kind assets with them, and it requires sort of constant follow-up. So please feel free to reach out to me and we can talk about this some more. But we have had people do it, and that individual does ultimately end up responding, but he's not the best about it. So I'm not gonna try and kid you otherwise. But you would do an in-kind transfer. You would transfer your existing assets in kind from that custodian to your Entrust. Can you address the fees associated with a self-direct IRA? If you go to our website, theentrustgroup.com, and you'll see next to there's a green login button. Right next to that, it's got the word fees. Just click on that and all of our fees are detailed there. Just go ahead and look at it. Okay, I just rolled my 401k from my former employer into a self-directed IRA with the Entrust Group. Thank you. Am I still able to use funds to purchase stocks, bonds, mutual funds? Sorry, I need to do something here to read the rest of this. Sorry, I messed things up here. Give me a second. Okay, I just rolled my 401k from my former employer into self-directed IRA with the Entrust Group. Am I still able to use funds to purchase stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and how would I initiate those transactions? So Brian, we do have a trading portal in which you can place trades through your account with Entrust. You'd have to log into your account and then but we have to turn that portal on for you. So if you send an email to Entrust or to your business development manager, so I don't, when you opened your account, you would have gotten an email from your specific business development manager. Send them an email and say you want access to the trading portal and they'll turn it on. And then you'll have to log into your account. Note that we don't offer investments for sale, right? So you're not going to go on and see like a list of funds to choose from. You have to go find the investment you want to make, find a stock or find the fund. And then you come in, you enter the QSIP, and then the dollar amount that you want to purchase or the price, et cetera, the limit order, like all that stuff is available to you. But you have to go find the fund yourself. We're not offering funds. We just offer a platform for you to be able to make those trades. In opening a self-direct IRA with Entrust using existing IRA, is it possible to split the assets by moving a portion of Entrust to fund the self-direct IRA and leaving the balance with the bank or brokerage firm? Well, yes, I mean, if you're holding, I mean, I'm assuming you're holding a publicly traded something, stock or bond or mutual fund or something like that. You just have to liquidate the portion that you want to transfer over, right? So you're allowed to have IRAs with multiple different custodians. So if you want to take 50% of your portfolio, your retirement account portfolio, and move it to Entrust to invest in real estate or whatever, you just have to contact your custodian, your current custodian, and liquidate it into cash. So you have to tell them what portion of it you want to sell, right? And then you just open the account to fill out our transfer form, initiate the transfer, but you're going to be transferring cash. You're not going to be portioning off 50%. Like you're not going to transfer over 50% of a fund, right? You're going to need to liquidate the fund and then transfer. Is there a Roth option for a self-directed IRA? Yeah, you can self-direct a Roth IRA for sure. Can you build a duplex and act as a general contractor? Okay, it's a good question. So where this potentially gets into being considered a prohibited transaction so your IRA can buy land and your IRA then can build on that, right? So the IRA would pay for everything. Excuse me, sorry. The IRA would pay for everything, right? The IRA would buy the land. The IRA would pay for all the material. The IRA would pay the people who are doing the work. And you can do all that inside a retirement account. can you oversee the work? Can you like tell the people who are doing the work like what you want done, and you know, being on site and sort of managing the work that's being done? Certainly, right? You're allowed to be responsible for your asset. You can't pay yourself. So if you're a general contractor, your IRA can't pay you for that. Here's the other thing. We had mentioned earlier, there is what's considered direct and indirect prohibited transaction. If you are a general contractor, if that's your career, if that's what you do for a living, and now you're doing that for your IRA, that's probably going to be prohibited because you are providing a service to your retirement account that you also receive a salary for. Even if your IRA isn't paying you specifically for this, that's probably considered an indirect prohibited transaction because you're in effect giving a contribution of your expertise to your retirement account. But note that I'm saying probably. You might have a conversation with a CPA or even another self-directed IRA custodian that would disagree with my you know, what I'm saying to you. So, answer your question again, you can certainly oversee work that's being done. Your IRA can buy land and build on it, and it can pay for everything, and you're allowed to oversee the work. But if you are a general, by using the term general contractor, again, absolutely can you not like take a fee. You can't pay yourself. If you're a general contractor, or you own a business that's a general contractor, that business or yourself can't get paid, right, to do that. Your IRA can't pay you for that service. And I think even the act of doing the service, depending upon what you do as a career, could still be a problematic in that instance. Can you place currently held metals with a custodian into a self-directed IRA? You can't place metals that you own personally inside an IRA. No. If your IRA already holds the metals and you want to place them with a different custodian, then yes, you certainly can. But if you're talking about you hold personal possession of gold and you want to just place that inside your IRA, no, you can't. The IRS has, that would be considered a contribution. And the IRS has a couple of rules around a contribution, which is that one, they have contribution limits. There's a maximum dollar amount that you can contribute based on the type of account and your income and things like that. Also, the other rule is that it has to be in cash. You have to contribute, you have to basically write a check or send a wire from your savings account. That's how you make contributions. I have a caveat, you can contribute assets into a 401k. So if you're self-employed or have your own business and you want to make a contribution to that 401k and you want to contribute metals into that 401k, that would be allowed, but not an IRA. How does the IRA report taxes on rental income? It doesn't get reported. Your IRA receives the income, and just at the end of the year, you increase the value of your IRA. We have to report a fair market value of your retirement account. So from a standpoint that it increased the value of your retirement account, we report that value, but it's tax sheltered. It's like your IRA receiving a dividend on a stock. That doesn't get reported to the IRS. It doesn't need to. It's all tax sheltered. Any income that comes inside your retirement account is protected by the fact that it's tax sheltered by the fact that it's a retirement account. Or sale of property, again, you just grew your retirement account. We don't report the, it's not like the form whenever you own rental property personally and there's a, I don't know what the form is that you have to file. There's a form that you have to file where you report your income, you deduct your expenses, and then you either have a loss or a gain that you turn around, then you report that on your 1040. It doesn't work like that. A retirement account's a tax sheltered entity. Is there a separate return must be filed? So the answer to that is no. Do you offer a way to buy individual stocks, not mutual funds or ETFs within a self-directed IRA? Yes, I mentioned this earlier. We do have a trading platform that we offer that you can access through your login to your account with us. But as the manager, you can't receive a salary, right? That would be a prohibited thing. I don't remember what original question that was about. But if you're talking about managing an LLC, for example, no, you can't receive a salary to manage an LLC. Okay, two more questions, just FYI. If you've got any more, you want to get them in quick. If you create an LLC to invest through, would you then have to pay UBIT? If the LLC is just being used as a pass-through for investment purposes, then no, there's no UBIT that apply. If you're having an LLC that's then turning around and borrowing money to buy a property, or if you're using that LLC to turn around and run a business, like I used the example, used an example earlier of a franchise then yes, it would have to pay UBIT. It's the act of having an LLC doesn't affect the UBIT. It's what does the LLC, it's how the LLC is being used, what it's investing in. Okay. Can I set up an account with you if I live and work in Europe, but I'm an American citizen, have my IRAs in the US? Yes, you absolutely can. We have account holders that live in like a dozen other countries outside the United States. So we absolutely can take take individuals who live in different countries. So that was the last question. No, I'm sorry, there are more. Your fees. Again, please go to our website, theuntrustgroup.com. Up towards the top, there's a login button and there's a open an account button. There's a login button right next to that. There's the word fees. Just click on that. Customer support. For example, if I have a subscription agreement that Entrust must sign, do I contact the same person assigned to my account or a generic help desk? How many days turnaround time to expect, other concerns to consider? So we have a back office team that actually is the one who reviews and signs that agreement. Right now, our turnaround time for private placements for like alternative assets is around 3 to 5 business days. Real estate actually is probably the same, but it's probably closer to pretty consistently more the 3 days. You can submit your documents like directly to that team. You don't have to go through customer service. If you have questions about it, you would reach out to your point of contact, me or my associate, Jacob. So you have a person assigned to assist you if you need any help with that. But in terms of submitting it, you can send it to that individual, you can send it to our general website, you can send it specifically to that department. It's all going to end up in the same place anyway, but it's not the, your point of contact is not the person who does the review. We have a back office team, we have a real estate team, we have an alternative assets team, and we have a precious metals team that does those transactions. If you invest in the LLC that invests in real estate, will the use of leverage result in UBIT? Yes, it will. And note that that's self-reported, right? So there's a form 990T in which you report the UDFI or UBIT that you have to pay. You're responsible for calculating that and then submitting the form to us so that we can pay it from the retirement account. Like, we don't know whether you owe UBIT or not, right? Like, if you have leverage, we're not responsible to calculate what your UBIT is. That's your responsibility to do it. These are self-directed retirement accounts, right? So if you have an LLC that owns property that uses leverage, that's technically probably going to be responsible for paying UDFI. It's on you to get the form completed and filed and or get the form completed and sent to Entrust so that we can file it and then pay it from the account. Actually, with an LLC, you wouldn't even submit to Entrust. You would pay it directly from the LLC. A self-directed IRA is not making any interest or losses on its own, correct? It would be solely based on the investment chosen. That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it just sits in cash until you tell us what to invest in. I mean, in essence, we're not paying interest right now, right? We don't, the interest rates, we used to pay a little bit of interest on the cash if it was uninvested, but it's been so long since interest rates are so low, we can't afford it. Sorry, I lost my place again. Give me a sec. Fees, I got asked the fees again. Michelle, please, you know, go to our website, click on fees. Do I need to open a self-directed IRA to invest in cryptocurrency, or the existing traditional IRA account with Entrust is sufficient? No, the current account is sufficient, but there's cryptocurrency has a little bit of a complication because you have to have that wallet, right? And we don't have a platform to hold that wallet, and you're not allowed to hold that wallet directly. So we're currently working with a company, that's going to allow you to hold cryptocurrency directly inside your Entrust account. We don't quite have that set up yet. So in order to hold cryptocurrency inside your Entrust IRA, you would have to go through the LLC process that I mentioned earlier, where your IRA owns the LLC, the LLC would hold the crypto, the LLC would hold the wallet. Michelle, please contact your business development manager and discuss this more. Again, we are working with a company that's going to very shortly provide the ability for you to go in and buy cryptocurrency directly in your Entrust account, the same way that we have a trading platform where you can buy stocks and mutual funds, but it's not set up yet. Okay. Okay. Are funds that are held with you insured? Yes. All dollars that we hold are FDIC insured. So a self-directed health savings account has all the same investment options as a self-directed Roth IRA. Yes. You can invest in a self-directed is self-directed. You can invest in stocks. Not only just stocks, bonds, mutual funds, but real estate, precious metals, private placements, et cetera, et cetera. If my income exceeds my IRS limits where I cannot make a direct contribution to a Roth IRA, can Entrust facilitate a backdoor Roth conversion from the traditional IRA? Sure. Yeah, you want to do that. Should I open a traditional IRA or Roth IRA account at Entrust or both? A backdoor Roth IRA is essentially you make the contribution to a pre-tax account and then convert it over to a Roth IRA. You can do that with us. You can open a traditional IRA, you can make the contribution, then you can convert it over to Roth. You just instruct us to do that. If you want to do both accounts with Entrust, you're free to do it. If you want to do it with, a different custodian and then transfer it over to us, you can do that as well. It's really up to you. Okay. Now I'm at the last question. If we purchase a property using a self-directed IRA, can we sell the property to an LLC or another personal entity maintaining ownership and then use the self-directed IRA to purchase another property? You can't sell the property to an LLC that you already own, right? Because that LLC is considered a disqualified person. The only way, if your IRA owns a property and you want to take personal ownership of that property, the only way to do it is to distribute it to yourself, to take it as a distribution. So if you want to take it as a distribution and now you own it personally and now you want to re-register it and do a quit claim to put it inside the LLC, feel free. What you can't do is you can't take an LLC that you already own, where you're the owner, and then write a check from your LLC to the IRA to buy the property, because that's a prohibited transaction. You're a disqualified person. You can't buy property from your IRA. Your LLC that you own can't buy property from the IRA. If there's a third party who has an LLC and that third party, that non-disqualified third party, wants to buy the property from your IRA, go to it. But it can't be an LLC that you already own. That's considered a prohibited transaction. And that is it. That was the last question. So I appreciate just over an hour. I appreciate everybody that attended this. Please attend our next webinar on cryptocurrency investing that's going to be coming up. And we will be sending out an email with a link to the to this webinar. So for those who didn't attend, you probably watching it now. And for those who attended who want to see it again, you'll get a link. You'll get an email with the link. Thanks again. Thanks for joining our webinars. We appreciate it. For the account holders out there, thanks for having an account, and we'll talk to you again soon.